Amen. Okay. We are up to 56A. Nun Vav Amad Aleph. We are hopefully going to finish the parak today. And it's going to be a fun one again. As we had yesterday, some interesting hashkafic gemaras here. I just lost the place. Hold on. Okay.
So we're on the last line of 55.
Right. The bottom of 55B. We're talking now about the different people who, if you say they sinned in a specific way, so then you are mistaken. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Kol Amar B'nei Shmuel, Chatu, Eino Ela Toa, Shneamar Vayhi, Kizaken Shmuel, Vanav Lo Halchu, Bidrachav, Bidrachav Hud Lo Halchu, Michtanami Lo Chatu. So the Pasuk says in Shmuel Ches, that when Shmuel got older, it says the children didn't walk in his ways. But it also doesn't say that they did anything necessarily terrible. They weren't as good as Shmuel. So the Gemara says that teaches that they also didn't make any sins. Exactly, you know, what does that mean? They didn't make any sins. Rashi says, yeah.
The Gemara is ignoring the rest of the pasuk that they don't quote, where it's clear that they do commit sins.
Right, they took bribes and they...
Yes.
Yeah. So the Gemara is going to talk about what exactly they did. And as I said yesterday, my impression is that they didn't do these specific things, not necessarily that they never sinned. But I think the Gemara is specifically going to talk about what the next part of the pasuk means. We'll see the examples in a second. So Rashi says specifically that Rashi says, if one were to think that the children of Shmuel specifically sinned by taking a bribe or by manipulating judgment, so then they're mistaken. They might have done other things. So the Gemara then says, Elmani mekayim v'yitu achrei abatzah. What does it mean, therefore, that they leaned against, or they leaned towards, here it says, they sought after unjust gain, batzah, like sone batzah from Yisro, right? When Yisro says to get trustworthy judges. So it says, get people that hate batza. They hate getting, ill-gotten gain, I guess here would be the appropriate phrase. Shelo asu k'maasei avim. They didn't do like their father, Shmuel. Shehaya Shmuel at tzadik mechazer kol makom z'Yisrael v'danu som ba'areihem. Shmuel would go to the other people's home of residence in order to adjudicate a case. He would judge by going around the entire country and holding court. The children of Shmuel didn't do so. They would sit and wait in their cities until people came to them. It says in order to collect more money for their helpers here.
They sent out their people. Super Bowl to your community and bringing the revenue to your neighbors.
Right. So that's a similar thing, but it's also referring specifically to how to get the word out. Meaning he hired extra people in order to send them to different places. If he would have gone himself, so then he wouldn't make the same amount of money for his workers, because he wouldn't need somebody to go to each place and tell them about it, or to write up letters and send them out. So he's basically, it's like a working employment incentive type thing that he keeps that Shmuel's children kept all these people employed by making sure that they didn't go anywhere else. So it was really a greedy thing, but it wasn't a bribery thing. So k'tanai, this is actually machlokas tanaim, how to understand this pasuk. Va'ita achareha batzah, Rabbi Meir Omer chelkam shalu befihim. That they took their portions with their mouths. What does that mean? So here in Rashi says, Ma'aser rishon harayu lahem. Shalavim hayu, they were levim. Shalu befihim mitoch shayu gedol hayador v'shoftim lo hayu monu mehem v'shar levim anim. Mitzdarim. Rabbi Meir lo chatu v'hatias mishpat. So Rabbi Meir says, they might not have made a mistake in terms of manipulating judgment, but they definitely made a mistake in terms of trying to get people's ma'aser rishon. I guess they would take more than their share, maybe, and they leave other Levim who were poor, they leave them without any Maaser Rishon, because they had more clout, they had sort of they had that influence, so they asked people for their Maaser, whereas other people didn't have that platform. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Milai Hitilu Al Bali Batim. They impose local homeowners to sell their merchandise. Exactly what that means, I'm not 100% sure. Rashi says, Nosn lehem pragmatia lasok bav, lasis lehem aschar mitoch kach hayonim shach libam lahatos din kishabayin lifnein ladun vahinu chatam. Okay, interesting. That they, Rashi says that it's that they sort of got on everyone's good side by buying their stuff. That's what he sounds like. Nosn lehem pragmatia lasok
bav. All of this stuff sounds pretty bad, so I don't think the
so that's what Rashi. So Rashi,
not necessarily. We're taking it maybe as worse than what they intend, because if you think of how people market themselves now, that's what they're really intending to do, is bring business to them without regard to what someone else's business might be impacted. It's just simply thinking about yourself over someone else.
I think the point is, especially the way Rashi says it, is the way that they manipulated the din is that they ingratiated themselves to other people, meaning in the other people's hearts they had a soft spot for the sons of Shmuel, but they didn't sit and hold court and actually change the din or misjudge things. It's just that people were more lenient in terms of what they would bring them to court over, or what they cared about. I don't know, something more interpersonal, which is also manipulative, but not strictly in the judicial sense. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kupa Yaser Shel Maaser Natzel Bizroa. They took extra Maaser, more than they deserved. That's gezel, but it's not shochad, which is interesting. Rabbi Yossi Omer Matanos Natzel Bizroa. They took extra gifts. But they took them by force. Bizroa means by force. So Rashi says, Ra'a lachayim v'keba v'him lo hayu kohanim. Rashi says that they took the kohanim's food, not just the levium. Here, then he says, Lach shudach ha'matnos levia k'go ma'asar v'korek siv nasan l'kom d'ashinim v'lo shi'itu me'atz v'shchuchum v'arik ha'zroa v'adim l'kom atas k'nu v'levain. They took things, they took extra. They took seconds, you know? That was their problem. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Amar David. By the way, those all were bad things, as we said before. They were bad things that the children of Shmuel did, but it wasn't specifically that what the pasuk means. So that's what it means when the Gemara says Bnei Shmuel chatu enu al toa. So anyone who thinks literally they did what the pasuk said they did is mistaken. They might have done other things, but they did not do that.
But it seems that all of the cases, other than it seems Rashi maybe adds some things that appear a little bit worse, but it seems that what they were doing was they were aggressive businessmen. It's like when we say that Trump cheated on his taxes, or did he use the loopholes that were allowed him, right, that he maybe shouldn't have used? It's it's really, did they work within the guidelines, but things they shouldn't have done if they would have been arrogant?
Yeah, I wouldn't just say that's Rashi, because I mean the fact that they kupa yisera shemaiser natlu bezera sounds pretty bad, that they took extra portions of meister. That's literally what the words mean,
right? But so, it was put in their hand. In other words, they didn't return the excess, is what it would seem. No
natal means to take, natlu bezera, they took with their hand. That's what the words mean. I don't know, but it might not be as strictly usher, because they are Levi and they could get it, but they took extra from other people that could have needed it more. So I don't exactly know how to categorize it in a halachic sense, because I'm not familiar with the inner workings of the Meister market, but that sounds pretty bad to me. But yeah, Rashi does say things that Gemara didn't say explicitly.
There's some deeper point that the Gemara is trying to make here. We go through character after character, each of who's pretty rotten, and the Gemara concedes that they're rotten, but wants to, in each case, let you know that in a very technical sense,
right,
they didn't sin. That doesn't mean they're nice people or they're tzaddikim.
Right.
So what is, and it's a question for beyond this forum, what is the Gemara's larger point here?
So right.
I don't have an answer offhand, but that's the
Gemara's larger point. At the surface level, what it means is you can't judge a book by its cover, or you can't just take things literally and sort of demean biblical characters without understanding the depth of them. But yeah, there's definitely what to be studied here.
When we started, we started by saying the people that were named in their father's name, like we talked about
the
parents of the children. Could it be that we don't want to say this to disparage the individuals themselves? Like, we say Yishai Dinson, why? Because if Yishai Dinson, then it reflects better on David. Or over here, if a child or a parent sins,
I hear.
It makes Shmuel look bad. It's not only about the children, it almost makes him look
bad. It's a good drasha. I like it. Connecting two bars of the Gemara. Are they connected? Maybe. I can imagine somebody saying that. Not bad. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Kolo Amar David Chatzah, Enu Ela Toa. People might be familiar with this. This is probably the most popular part of this Gemara, but I think, is this in Sanhedrin? I think it's also in Sanhedrin. That anyone who says David sinned with Uriah, David sinned with Uriah is also mistaken. What exactly was the sin? There are a couple of different things that people could look at. The fact that he killed Uriah, the fact that he took Bathsheba before killing Uriah, different things. So Amar Rav, if you say David sinned, that's a mistake. Shneamar v'hi David chol d'rachav maskil v'Hashem imo. After chet bal yado, shchina imo, would Hashem be with him if he had sinned? Elamani mekayim adua bazisa es dvar Hashem asos hara, shebikish la'asos v'lo asa. So why did you? So the pasuk says pretty explicitly that how did you? How could you disgrace Devar Hashem to do such a bad thing? The end of the pasuk says that you killed Uriah with a sword and you took his wife Bathsheba. So the Gemara says no, Bikesh la'asos v'lo asa. He wanted to do it. His intentions were bad, but he never actually did it. Exactly what that means. He never actually did it. The Gemara is going to talk about it. Amrav, Rebbe does see David, Mahavech v'darsh v'zchusei de David. Rebbe, who was a descendant of David, always used to bring out the merit of David HaMelech. Madu abaziz etvar Hashem asasara, Rebbe Omer, Meshuna ra'azumi kol ra'az sheba Torah. This is not the type of bad thing that you usually find in the Torah. Shekol ra'az sheba Torah k'siv behu v'yas. Whenever somebody does something wrong, so it says, and they did. V'kan k'siv lasos. That to do. Shebikish lasos v'lasa. Says Rebbe again, that he wanted to do it, but he never actually went through with it. What did he not do? As u'yachid hi k'siv v'cherev, shaylecha l'aduna b'sanhenshu v'danta. Right, so maybe David had something that was a guilty, incriminating evidence against Uriah Achiti, but he should have done it through the Sanhedrin. Ves ishta lekachta lecha liisha likuchen leishcha yesh lecha ba. You do have the rights to marry her, right? Likuchen yesh lecha. You have grounds to marry her. Because he was already considered divorced. Why was he already considered divorced? To Amar Rabbi Yishmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Kol Yotzim Lechemes Deis David, Kosev Get, Krisus Lishto. Everyone who went out to war at that time, they would send a conditional get to their wives on condition, just in case that they might not come back. So they'll already be divorced, and you don't have to wonder: did my husband die? Did he not die? If he doesn't come back, I guess maybe by a certain time. So then they assumed that he was dead. Shnei Amar v'esasersa charitzi echala v'cha'ela tavi l'sar alef v'esachecha tifkod l'shalom v'esaru basam tikach. Okay, this is also in the pasuk in Shmuel, literally translated, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousands, and the brothers bring greetings and take their pledge. Arubatam. So my arubatam. So it says, Tani Rabbi Yosef, Tamar Hama, O Ravim Beinu Levena, things that connect her to him. So right, so they learn from this pasuk that it must be referring to the get, which is what connects the two of them together, husband and wife. So clearly, Uriah Chiti had already given a get to his wife, and therefore, when David took matters into his own hands to get Bathsheba, it was not a problem because they were already technically divorced. They also harakta b'cherav ne'amon, and you also killed the children of Ammon. Ma'cherav ne'amon iatanan shalav av uriachitzi iatanan shalav. Just like you weren't punished for the killing of the children of Ammon, which I think means the at war, right? So you're not going to be held responsible for people you killed during war. Av uriachitzi iatanan shalav. So too, because of the juxtaposition in the pasuk, you're also not going to be punished for killing uriachitzi. So my time, why didn't, what was so okay with him killing Uriah? Uriah wasn't one of the soldiers. So one of the enemy soldiers in my time, he was a traitor against the kingdom. He rebelled. How do you know? When he's talking about the situation of the camp, so he said the word Adoni Yoav, my master Yoav. And even though Yoav was obviously had a position of authority, so Rashi says Lav Orach Ar LeKabel Lav Marus Achirim B'fnei HaMelech. You're speaking to David HaMelech, so you're not going to call somebody else your master. He's the king. So you're basically denigrating the king to his face, and therefore that was the rebellious nature of Uriah's sin. Okay, and therefore he was deserving of being killed. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
This is a little bit goes against your shear last night, right? Because we're
part?
Trying, I mean, maybe it's legitimate, but we're justifying the wrongdoings of others.
Yeah.
When we said last night, don't justify what you've done.
I hear you. Last night was obviously speaking about your own stuff. Like, that's not how you should look at your stuff. So here we have Chazal who's telling us things, so we have to listen to Chazal. But you're right. If we were David HaMelech and we had done something wrong, so we shouldn't be looking for excuses and darshaning why we were okay with it. But David HaMelech is David HaMelech, and Chazal is Chazal. So, yeah, we got to take them at the word. But good point. Good connection there. So, Amar Rav, Ki Mayanat B'David lo mishkachas b'bar midu Uriah. When you look, so Rav disagrees and says, when you look into David's life, the only thing he ever did wrong was with Uriah. Dechsev rak b'dvar Uriah chiti. The only thing was Uriah chiti. This is later on. It says, David did that which is right in the eyes of Hashem, and turns not aside from anything that Hashem commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah chiti. So it says pretty clearly in that pasuk that he did everything in accordance to Hashem, except for the situation with Uriah. So Abaye Kashisha Rami Durav Adarav. So Abaye Kashisha, I don't know if it's the same Abaye or a different Abaye, the older Abaye, brought a contradiction between Rav and Adamba's statement of Rav. Mi Amar Rav, how did Rav really say that David Melch only sinned by Uriah? V'amar Rav, kibel David Lashon Hara. Rav was the one who said that David had accepted Lashon Hara, which is also a problem. That's part of the Isra of Lashon Hara, is to accept it. So the Gemara says, Kasha, yeah, we don't know how to understand that contradiction. The Gemara now goes into it. What is that Lashon Hara? Gufa, Rav, Amar, Kibel, David, Lashon Hara, Tichsif. Because the Pasuk says, Vayomer lo amelch eifo hu, Vayomer tziva el amelch, hine hu beis machir ben amia belo davar. So unfortunately, I don't have a well enough grasp on this entire story, but what's basically happening is he accepted a bad report from Tziva about Mephibosheth, the son of Yonatan. Okay, so, and Tziva was Shaul's servant. So David had said to Tziva, where is Mephibosheth?